One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
So you didn't want to do anything when you grew up, and I wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah, I'm still not doing anything.
Dude, I want some conspiracy people to really chime in the comments on your thoughts on the moon.
And then I'll be like online. I'm assuming they're talking about first time we had SEX.
I will say I was mental.
That's called recognition, and you saw yourself going down that path, and then you stopped.
No, I'm not stopping.
Derek is still a kid trying to find out what he's going to be when he grows up, and dude, it's still a race car driver.
Hi. Hey. It's Sarah and Lo Beeston, your Fairly Odd Sisters. Woo! Yeah!
Please don't make me do it again.
I think I'm starting the podcast, but my co-host isn't here. No, I'm just kidding. He spilled on his shirt. He went to go change. Tanner, have you changed yet?
Oh, yeah, Nate, sorry. I couldn't find any pink, but I found this one in...
Sick. No, that looks perfect.
Do you like it?
Yeah, no, it's a little tight, but it fits good, I feel
it's good.
Yeah. No, dude, that's a good style.
Lauren?
You guys good in here?
Yeah, we're good. No, we're already going. Okay. How's the shirt?
It's shirting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for letting me borrow it.
All right, good luck.
Thanks. We're not nervous.
I kind of feel like I should be wearing a crop top green shirt right now.
Yeah, I thought the whole thing was like, I wear pink, you wear green.
I am wearing green pants, but...
That's not really the green.
It's not really the green at all,
actually. That's Peter Pan, we found you in the forest green. That's not Sarah Beeston, Fairly Odd Sisters wizard.
She wears bright green, doesn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, neon.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, so you blew.
Well, just don't... Okay. Dang it. All right. Well, outfit-wise, you've won. Right, that's really cool.
Should I go change? I feel a little uncomfortable.
No, don't change. No.
No.
I would do it if I had, like, my full six-pack going right now, and I was,
which
like, not...
usually there?
Winterized skin.
Winterized.
Yeah.
That's a good word for it.
But end of summer, dude, I'll for sure wear a crop top. Yeah. Right. Hey, welcome to the podcast. We're taking over today. I don't know who's hosting, so I just started hosting.
Yeah, thanks,
okay.
Man.
Yeah,
I
sure.
I appreciate you doing that.
Thanks. Okay. We're not first-time podcasters, but we are first-time hosters of a podcast. We've been on this before, if you've seen some of the past podcasts. But apparently people want to know more about us, as if we haven't explained enough. I feel like it's out there. A lot of weird stuff about us, but we're going to dive into a little bit more. This is Tanner. I'm Derek. And we are the husbands of the Fairly Odd Sisters.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, guys. They're not here right now. They're actually swimming, having a good time, and we're here filming the podcast. So
yeah,
pretty fun. Sweet.
Well, let's pull up this outline.
So they gave us an outline.
This is
apparently they're worried about things that we'll talk about, so they're trying to keep it, you know, very structured.
Yeah.
Normally we'd be talking about cars.
We just come on and talk about cars.
Dude, we got this new Porsche. We're super stoked about it. So we're just gonna dive into all the details about it and working out and grilling. Okay, so explain why we're taking over.
That is a great question. We are taking over.
I can't take you seriously.
Maybe because the girls are tired. I don't know. They've been recording a lot lately. Maybe they just wanted a break. Yeah. So they talked us up. They're like, dude, everybody is talking about you. They want you to host. But in reality, they were just kind of like...
This is going
to
be the worst performing video. No one wants
I
to
hope
listen.
So.
Then we never have to do this again.
No, but we're taking over because it's fun. And we're the husbands. And we've been on the podcast a couple times now.
Couple times.
And thought it would just be a fun idea, like, if we just swapped in. I was Lauren and you were Sarah.
Yeah, and we're even sitting in their same spots.
Yeah, I did want that side because I feel like this side of my face is a little bit better.
Dude, no, I hate this side of my face, man.
So we really should be in the opposite seats. Whatever.
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
Anyway, so they gave us an outline. We're going to be answering questions that people have been submitting or asking about over the course of the podcast. And we'll see how many we can get through.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we have answered a lot about ourselves over the last 4 years when they kind of started doing YouTube, TikTok, all of that stuff. I feel like most people know the basics, I guess, but I actually did look over the outline and there was a lot of stuff that I don't know that I've talked about before. So
yeah,
this is going to be good.
Yeah, man.
Life update on us. Well, we're living in Utah.
Yep. Been we'll 1 year
see.
Now.
We'll see how long we're here for.
I'm pushing for not living in Utah anymore. I'll just say that.
Yeah,
I'd like to be by the beach again. And it's been that way pretty much since 1 hour after our plane landed 1 year ago to come to Utah. But I will say the longer that we've been back, the more that I've been stoked on it, but also the more that I've missed just living that simple lifestyle of like, you need the beach and sun.
That's it.
And trunks.
And trunks.
Occasionally.
No shirts.
No. You really don't. That's all you need. And it just is like this perfect, simple little recipe for a happy life. And it's just not quite that here. But
it's not. And we did sign an official agreement that if they're in Hawaii, we must follow, vice versa. That's, you know, we kind of can't live apart from each other. So it is it's a group decision.
Yeah, it's a group decision.
But no, it actually, I can't say that we've ever felt like 100% we are so stoked that we're here. It's had its moments.
Yeah.
The winter was really rough. The knee surgeries, all of that. I felt like it hasn't just been.
Speak for yourself.
Speak for yourself. Right. Yeah, it hasn't been fun, to say the least. But I do see things getting better. I do see it becoming a lot more fun this summer. And, you know, we got lots of stuff planned. But it's still so hard not to want to go back to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely feel like it will inevitably happen. I just don't know our timeline. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think maybe next month. All right, let's roll in or roll out. No, let's roll in. Let's roll in.
Autobots, roll in.
Dude, did you see the very first question on there? That's an easy one, dude.
Is it, though? Come on.
All right, the first question is who is cooler? And that's easy.
Yeah, one answer, dude.
No, and I'm not even just like, I'm not even messing on this one. Derek Shut is up. Cooler.
Shut up.
No, okay.
It's not even true. Yes. There was a point in my life, maybe there was a point where I was, maybe. It's now true. It's not.
It is. Who? This isn't cooler.
It's cooler.
I ran out of t-shirts.
That's so much Kink cooler.
Pink t-shirt.
Dude.
That's so much cooler.
No,
dude, okay. My entire life, I've always thought of myself as kind of like the more reserved, cautious, held back,
cooler,
good, whatever kind of kid. And Derek was always the cool kid. Derek had the cool friends. He was the quarterback. He played basketball. He was all better at every skateboarding, snowboarding. He was just like all of the things that I always grew up thinking were really cool. He was good at, which makes you in turn cooler than me.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Let's kind of focus on one thing that you said. High school. That was 10 years ago. I would say that, yeah, I did feel really cool in high school.
Dude,
I will
were
say,
cool.
I know, yeah,
I am cool.
I am cool. I feel like I've progressively gotten less cool, and you've progressively gotten more cool. But I will say, I don't know. We both have our things.
No,
I'm always wishing that I was more like him, and apparently he's wishing he was more like me. There is that kind of like. Yeah, I guess I can say I kind of always had the didn't really think about stuff mindset, send it factor, I guess, where I just kind of would do kind of really dumb stuff, and hence why I'm always injured. But now being in the phase of life that we're in now, I'm like, okay, that's not really cool anymore. I'm like, dude, I got to stop, you know, sending it off of 30-foot cliffs and hurting my knees and stuff. So,
yeah.
We're both.
Yeah, you should stop doing that.
I should.
Now that I think about it, that was pretty uncool of you.
It was, man.
Yeah.
Like in the moment, like, dude, that's sick. Like this guy jumped off of a cliff. Cool.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not that cool anymore.
It's not that
and cool. My wife thinks it's the most uncool thing ever.
Yeah.
That I'm always injured. So.
Yeah. Okay, I changed my mind. I got cooler.
Yeah, so we're agreeing with 50-50. 50-50. Yeah, 50-50. You guys can vote on that. Who's cooler?
You guys can vote on that.
Okay, let's see. What's the weirdest thing you've ever witnessed your wife do? Your wife does a lot of weird shiz.
Here's the thing. It's all relative, and I think that because there's like the weirdness spectrum of like 0 to 100, she floats like 96. She's a 96 floater. That when something should be really weird, I think I'm kind of numb to it.
100%.
So what's the weirdest thing she's done? Like just be in existence and like operate as a human. But like, if I'm trying to think of like weirdest thing.
Dude, it's almost like if you hung out with Lauren, if you just like didn't know her and hung out with her once, you'd be like, those were some of the weirdest things I've ever witnessed.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like, I just witnessed the weirdest thing that I've ever seen anyone do. So just, yeah, if one like pops in my mind, I'll try to like sort through. There's a lot of files. I'll throw it in throughout the podcast. But
yeah, no, I can confidently say that Lauren could be one of the most interesting humans I have and will ever meet.
Yeah. Oh, I got one. But this is like the most, this is like, I always make fun of her for this because it was like, Lauren is very cool, calm, collected, doesn't get embarrassed, puts herself out there. But one time she was hanging out with a new friend and we all went to get lunch and then we left and her new friend got out of the car. We dropped her off and Lauren was like trying to like be cool. Like got really awkward so fast. It's like a very common experience, but like she had already shut the door, but Lauren was like still reaching to wave. And she waved like this, but the door is like already shut. So it's like, and she goes, "See ya." And then like just sat back normal. And there was like seven other people in the car. Just like,
wait, when was what? This? When was
it? It was in Hawaii, like before. 4 years ago, probably. But like, anyways, that's the most embarrassed I've ever seen her, where I actually laughed at something because she like got caught off guard. But
yeah, anyway. She doesn't really get caught off guard. She owns her weirdness. Yes. And yeah. Sarah, equally in her own right, is a very interesting human. Their weird levels, though, are very different.
Yeah, different scale.
It's a different scale, yeah. But it's like they're both high on the scale.
Yeah.
I mean, Sarah's the type where like Sarah wears fuzzy socks. Okay, that's kind of normal, but she'll wear fuzzy socks with little ears on them upside down where they're twisted and put her boots on and like not even care. She won't even flinch. And to me, that's just really weird. It's almost like psychotic a little bit. Like, how are you putting on your socks upside down?
Right.
I mean, she'll put her pants on backwards. She'll wear shirts on backwards.
She needs to talk to somebody about
it. She does, dude. Yeah. It's
like that's where that's we're at.
Uncomfortable with... to do. You don't do that.
Like, I don't know if you're in that space out there where you could talk to our friend about the way she wears her socks, just reach out, please.
It just, yeah, she's always, it's always been a little weird to me how she, yeah, just... But maybe that's not weird. Maybe I'm the weird one who cares about my socks. And
you are. Well, you are, and I am pretty like you more than me, but OCD about how things fit.
Dude, I'm in bed at night and I'm like having to be perfectly like comfortable.
We know.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you do like 64 rotations.
Sarah will lay down and not move.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got to be bunched, like tight, you know?
I always get got by like, if I have a shirt on to sleep, the sleeve getting really tight, like it pulls under. Yeah. That one gets me. I have to adjust that. No, I know. After that, I'm pretty good.
No, I got to adjust everything like a thousand times.
Yeah.
It's like not that weird of a thing, I guess, but I'm trying to think of the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I actually showed up and I was like, dude, what are we filming today? And they're like, did you not look at the brief?
Cut back to 10 minutes ago and he said, I actually looked over the brief and... Freaking liar.
I didn't look over the brief. I looked over the brief 5 minutes before filming and I didn't get a chance to think of the weirdest thing I've ever seen Sarah do. But it'll probably come to me, so...
No, this is good because it's getting our raw and real.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on. Okay. What jobs did you think you would have as little kids? When you were in college.
When we were kids and when we were in college?
I did not think about what my job was going to be until I was a senior in high school. I never had like, what do you want to be when you grow up moments, really. Like, I just like had things that I like to do, but I never thought of like, what's my job going to be? Mm. I don't know why.
Dude, yeah, no, that's kind of the way to go. And I wish more, I wish I did that.
Hmm. What'd you do?
Well, I thought I was going to be a doctor, man.
No way.
Yeah.
You just didn't want to anymore?
Didn't want to anymore. Let me tell you. When I had my big old accident where I fell off of a 30-foot cliff when I was 15, I was like, you know what? I survived that. I'm supposed to be a doctor now because these doctors helped me. Now I'm supposed to help other people. It was like this big life epiphany thing. Like, I have to be a doctor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my favorite uncle, he was a doctor. And I was just like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. So since 15, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a doctor 100%. But then I took an EMT course and realized that it's not fun and it's kind of gross and I don't like blood. And I didn't want to work, you know, 80 hours a week. So I decided not to be a doctor. And were a lot of people disappointed? I think so.
Do you see that? I don't think anybody cared.
My family really cared.
I think you had this idea so blown up in your head, man, that like you were letting the world down if you become a doctor.
Because I told every single person I knew that I was going to be a doctor.
And it was only you ever that cared. Isn't that wild? Like, no, like not one person.
You know what's also wild? Is that's kind of life.
I know.
And that's what I'm realizing. Like, you know these times where you're like, dude, I bet these people think I'm so cool right now.
Yeah.
For what I'm wearing or like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dude, no one thinks you're cool right now, man. No one cares.
We literally spend like, oh, dude, there's got to be some facts out there. If we have some fact checkers about like what portion of our lives we worry about thinking about what other people think about us when in reality nobody you pass on the street like gives two licks.
Well, like you think about how often you're thinking about other people. It's not that often.
No, because you're like, my shorts, are they long enough? Like long shorts are in style. put these socks on. Like, oh, are they gonna know? Oh, these are also Lauren's socks.
Dude, you should have wore her freaking shorts, man.
I should. These actually. We trade these ones.
Yeah.
So these ones are like two-way.
Hey, that's cool, man. What were you talking about?
Nobody cares about
us.
And like the best way possible, like
I think
you overthink it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think people don't really care about the things that you think people are caring about. They really people genuinely care about other people in the sense like they want the best for you.
Yes.
But they're not worried about these little details in your life that you're constantly thinking that they are.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, for the past 3 years of my life, I kind of got sucked into that, like thinking, dude, what do people think about me? Our life is online. And at first I didn't really care, but then the more criticism and stuff that you get,
yeah,
I think you just naturally start thinking like, dude, people are thinking about me. People think I'm stupid. People think,
yeah, yeah, that's true. Maybe people think a lot.
Maybe they do, or it's just easy to say, but
one of the two.
Maybe we're not sure.
I really felt like I was giving some like good, like, like, dude, stop caring. But that is true. That part's true.
It is. Yeah.
That it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And that like you can't base like that first question, I just think is the silliest question ever. Who's cooler?
Yeah.
Like it's all up to like an individual and what they think. And at the end of the day, there is no cooler. There is no lamer. There's just us.
Yeah.
And there's just people existing, trying their best. And it's like cool means in everybody's different brain. Cool is a different thing.
It's a different thing. 100%. And you can fixate so easily on what one person says and make that your whole coolness factor, you know? Like, I didn't hit that cool level that they're thinking about.
Yeah.
And so I'm not cool. And then you spiral.
Yeah. And it is funny too when we like meet people and we're like, dude, that dude was cool. Mm-hmm. Like he knows he's the coolest guy.
Yeah.
But inside his head, he could be like, dude, I wonder what they thought of my shirt. I wonder what they...
Oh, it really is funny. And I feel like it's happening more than ever today. It's just like everyone's kind of worried about what people are thinking about them. And I guess social media kind of naturally makes that happen. But it's, it totally is true that everyone has their own, you know, ideas of what coolness are.
Yeah.
Or what's not cool or how you should act. And if you take that to heart, it can really freaking distract you in life and make you miserable.
Personal experience?
No.
Yeah. Not read me. Read it in a book.
Yeah, dude, books for sure. So you didn't want to do anything when you grew up, and I wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still not doing anything.
Before doctor, I for sure was like, no, it wasn't before. It was always like, if I don't make it to the NBA or NFL.
Okay, yeah, that's right. You were going to be a sport guy.
Dude, doctor was never above those.
Okay, yeah, as a kid.
Even
you were going to be a sports baller.
Up until my last day of high school.
You still had, you like, I was had like, hope.
Dude, I'm going to figure out a way. I'm going to be the Rudy, man.
Dude, I was just like finding, I just watched this TikTok where they were talking about how they have friends who are like, really good at what they do, but they like still wish they would have made it to the NBA. And like how everybody just wishes that they could have made it to the NBA because like ball is life. Even they could have like no chance. They're just like, gosh, I want to be in the NBA. Like it's like, but it is like top, like, dude, probably if you took a survey, like probably most people want to be some sort of professional sports ball guy.
And now I'm just like, Jack, if you don't make it, dude.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be disappointed.
You're really good at putting that pressure on him. I noticed that.
Sure,
because
I'm living through him.
Yeah, making him do all the tackling drills and stuff. That's good.
You kidding me, dude?
Yeah,
that kid's going to the NBA for sure.
Yeah.
Poor kid. What?
Poor kid. Yeah.
No, I really don't care. This is a joke. Okay, we are very sarcastic individuals. But yeah, I was always like, dude, if I don't make it to the NBA, then I'll be a doctor. Easy second, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do either of them. Here
anyways,
I am.
Anyways, we're both failures.
Yeah. Yeah.
And definitely not as cool
no
as anybody thinks we are.
No.
Yeah. Probably not thinking that anyway, but if you did, we're not there.
We're still thinking.
Let's move on to
it.
The next question, man.
Okay. Describe your style and who is your inspiration?
Oh,
dude, I like this.
This is actually good. Derek is my inspiration for style. Like Lauren gets pissed because Lauren also has great style and she'll like pull up something, be like, I wish you would dress like this cute guy. Sweet. And maybe that's why I'm like, F that.
I'm just freaking wearing my
she doesn't say this shirt. Cute guy, but it's just like a cute guy, I guess. I don't know. And then I'm like, oh yeah, like that's pretty cool. And then like Derek will be wearing it like a couple weeks later and then I'll be like online. And she's like, what are you buying? I'm like, oh, that thing that Derek was wearing. Dude, what?
This is funny though, because I feel like I'm inspired by so many different people and what they wear. And it's not even like an individual where I'm just like, dude, I'm going to wear what they wear.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll see something and be so easily influenced. Like I am very influenced by what people wear. If they're doing something sick and they look sick doing it, then I want whatever they're wearing. And then Tanner's not really looking into that nearly as much. I mean, straight up, like it's kind of embarrassing, but yeah, I spend a lot of time looking at like inspo, I guess. I'm not really on like Pinterest and stuff, but more so Instagram, I guess, whatever. And then I get all fixated in it and Tanner's just like, oh, chill. That's cool. I'll wear that.
Yeah. It makes it a lot easier. So thanks for doing all that.
Yeah.
I appreciate your obsessiveness.
If I spent the amount of time doing something maybe a little more productive, but I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun.
You like it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think
that's awesome, man. Style is the funniest thing in the world because it literally just all goes back to that same idea we were just talking about where like somebody just decides something is cool.
Dude, you know, straight up, these shoes were never cool.
Oh, I had a pair in elementary school.
Dude.
And I was like, whatever. Nobody thought
maybe
anything about
them. Maybe they were cool,
but then one day they just became cool.
Yeah. And I'm like, I got to have those cool shoes. And I've never even really worn Adidas. Like, I can honestly say I'm not, like, original in most aspects.
Nobody is, by the way.
Yeah, that is true, I guess, for the most part.
I don't know. Actually, there's some pretty crazy dudes. I feel like everything I say on this podcast, I just backtrack. I don't know. Maybe that's true. But it feels right when I'm saying it. But yeah, dude, cool, dude, style. Like, I do think it's very cool.
And you have sick style.
And because I copy yours, that's why you like it.
I don't know, dude. You're fucking wearing a crop top right now.
I guess this isn't really your style.
That's cool style.
I got cool style.
Give
today.
It a couple of years, and this is what most boys will be wearing. Mark my words.
I actually am into the loose crop top at the gym. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I got inspired by a guy there. Yeah. yeah, it's cool to pick and choose. But yeah, I think it just kind of comes from everywhere. Yeah. So thanks for being my style guide.
Dude, yeah. And then making it all look better on you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
We've heard Lowe's and Sarah's first time thoughts. What are yours? I'm assuming they're talking about first time we had SEX.
No.
No, it couldn't be that.
No.
First
time we saw each other, for sure. Yeah, definitely not talking about SEX.
Yeah.
No.
That
don't talk about that.
I actually didn't know that Lauren was like, that was the worst ever until way later in our marriage.
Dude.
Because I was like, nice. That was great.
I know.
Yeah. I was like, I expected it to not go totally according to plan, but I thought it was great. And I was like, we can only go up from here.
How did that make you feel to hear that she didn't have such a great time?
Well, I guess I kind of expected it. So it wasn't I wasn't shocked. I was yeah, it's a lot better now.
Yeah. As long as it's getting better.
I didn't have any practice before, so I don't know where the whole, how I was supposed to be good at it.
Sorry. Dude, I thought you were doing that on purpose. That was funny. All right. No. Sorry.
That was good.
That was, keep going.
Yeah, anyways. So yeah, it's only gotten better from here, but nice. Yeah, her first time thoughts were a lot more.
Our first time kind of sucked, too.
It's normal.
But it was one of those things where it was maybe right after I was that was epic.
Yeah.
That was freaking fun. But then I should say throughout the duration of our honeymoon, we kind of realized that it was not good.
Yeah.
I can go into full details. Maybe the girls have already gone into
full details. Oh, I'm sure they said everything.
We're a little less detailed when it comes to this stuff.
Correct.
But yeah, I will say it was more me. I was pretty mental. I will say I was mental.
Mental.
Mental. That's where I'm going to leave it at.
Mental.
That I didn't.
Define it as you wish.
Yeah, I got really in my head about it.
I feel like you're just going to start defining
this. I'm going to start defining this.
We'll just cut him off. He just starts talking and he doesn't stop.
And I thought that I was not good at this. And I thought that Sarah thought I wasn't good at this. And yeah, I just get really mental about stuff like that. And it took a long time. But I will say that we're going like that.
To the moon.
To the moon.
And I love
that's
to hear
where
that.
We're going to end.
Yep. I love to hear that, man.
You know, it sucked at the start, but that's okay.
Let's move on to this next one, man. You just keep on going, dude. You just got to close your mouth.
Shut up.
And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not even going to define that for you. I'm going to leave that up to discretion. So anyways, what this means exactly is we.
Oh, man, dude, I will say that if you didn't know this about me, I am one of the biggest over-explainers, and I will always start off by saying, I was whatever. And by the end, you will know my whole entire life story and every wrong thing that I think about me.
Dude, some people really like that, though.
I guess
they like to, know all the details. I feel like Lauren wishes I gave more details.
Maybe.
Yeah, so, hey, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip this one, and I'm going to go to... it's about conspiracy theories, and I don't know a lot of them.
I really don't have. Yeah, other than we didn't go to the moon.
Yeah, the moon one. Well, I just saw the preview for that movie, so.
I don't know.
It turns out it's real.
Is it real?
I don't know. I just saw the preview.
I saw the preview, too, and was like, is this a thing that is actually confirming it wasn't real?
Might as well be. I don't. We saw the preview.
Dude, I want some conspiracy people to really chime in the comments on your thoughts on the moon, because I'm not a conspiracist. I'm not. I love listening to conspiracists, though. It's one of my favorite things.
Conspiracist or conspiracy theorist?
Oh, frick. I don't know. I'm not a person that has conspiracies. But if you have one, I'd love to listen to it and pretend that it's real.
Pretend, dude. Okay, this is the one.
Oh, this is
how do you guys stay so happy all the time?
Yeah.
This is hilarious.
This is really great, actually.
And I think misleading, because it does appear that we are happy all the time.
Yeah.
And if you are a human being living on this earth, you know that that is impossible to be happy all the time. It's really easy to do for 30 seconds if you're recording yourself and putting things on social media. Yeah. And that's just natural for any person to oh, camera's on you. I'm going to be on. And we do show a lot of the not on, but it's just, we go ups and downs just like everybody. It's
100%.
It's definitely not what you think.
No, not at all. It's, I think naturally we both are kind of like smiley, laughy people. He's a very big laugher, and I'm kind of always like, if I even just get like a little bit nervous, I start smiling, and I feel like genuinely we come off as happy people. And I will say that, like, you know, hard to define like happiness. There's happiness, and then there's, or I should say there's like joy in life, and then there's like happy moments. I do think that we both are on trajectories of having joyful lives, but it's like every single other person in this world, that shiz can hit the fan 100%. Even if everything looks to be perfect, it is not. Everyone kind of has their things. I have my things. I'm going to start sharing every single thing right now about myself, so be prepared.
See, that's called self-assessment. That's called recognition. And you saw yourself going down that path, and then you stopped.
No, I'm not stopping.
I'm not stopping.
Here we go. No, but yeah, I think that, no, even being 100% transparent, I don't feel like I was that happy of a person throughout this last winter, genuinely.
No, you weren't. You were miserable.
I was actually miserable.
Which is okay, dude. It's like, it's cold. You can't do anything. You're going through knee surgery. You're in pain.
And
you
have young kids. It's like, here's the thing, though, and which is hard. We don't have to go too much into this, but I do feel at times like this obligation to always feel happy.
Oh, yeah.
And to, like, you know, a lot of people want to watch our videos to feel happy, and I genuinely love that. And for the most part, we have a lot of really fun, happy moments. But I'm like, throughout this winter, yeah, even just like trying to be like, okay, dude, how can we make today fun? Like, this is not fun. I'm stuck in bed. I have a freaking terrible knee, and we miss Hawaii, and anyway, it's tough. So
yeah,
how are we so happy all the time? I think we both are good at trying to look for positives. Tanner is actually very, very good at looking for positives and can sometimes completely alter my brain into getting away from the negative that I sometimes focus on. But yeah, I think more than anything, we're just trying to be good people, and that naturally can kind of make you happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a money answer.
I don't know.
As far as getting happy or staying happy, how are you happy all the time? Or you like read a lot of things like, if my life's not like this, I don't want it, like all that kind of stuff. And I always just feel like that, because I'm like, not because like it's an entire fake act, like Derek's saying, like there are genuinely so many happy moments, and I feel like my life is filled with joy, and like having Ozzy and Stella and Lauren in my life has brought so much happiness. But then, like, since it's all you see, and it's just like, even if you know it, you're like, I'm on social media, this is fake, you still are scrolling through going like, man, yeah, I'm just stoked, dude, all the time. Yeah,
I literally do it for a living, and I still go through and I'm like, dude, how are these people the happiest people on the planet?
Yeah.
Like, how can they just like,
how do these people just travel all the time? Or how do they like, you're like,
and then I have to like stop and think, oh gosh, like they probably have some moments when they're even filming these things or whatever, or, you know, bad days. And it's hard to recognize that when you're stuck in the scrolling pattern. But
yeah.
For the most part, we're trying to be happy people.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a big difference in your life when you're actually trying to be happy.
Yeah.
So.
All right. How bad do you guys miss surfing? Like tears streaming down the face bad?
Hold on.
There goes the tears. I miss surfing a lot. Derek hasn't touched a surfboard in...
Dude, it's like it's not even part of my identity anymore.
He doesn't. I'm like, man, should we move back to Hawaii so we can surf all the time? And he's like, it's like talking to a brick wall. He's like,
dude, straight up, it is hilarious because that was literally like our life. Yeah. All we talked about, all we wanted to do.
Yeah.
You've had the little taste of it in the last
couple months. Yeah, I've actually kind of like, I kind of get my, in the last year since moving away, have had 3 trips where I was able to get my fix.
Yeah.
And so that was good. And also reminded me that like, it still remains my number one favorite hobby to do, like 100%. Of all time, but there's so many fun things to do here, but
yeah,
I miss it.
I'm coming up on a year of not surfing, and it's hard when you kind of, it's like you want those things so badly to find, you know, little sparks of stoke. It's kind of like what I would refer to it as. But when you stop doing it for so long and you kind of just get into this, you know, funk, which I will say, you know, after this winter and not being able to snowboard, yeah, we're both very active people, if you haven't gotten that idea yet. And I think naturally as an active person, it does take doing a certain level of activity to kind of maintain that level of like excitement.
Yeah.
Not to say that you can't be excited about other things. There's tons of little things that get me excited. And my kids and my wife are the most exciting things, but it's the little things that you can kind of do to supplement that. And I didn't really have any of that. Hadn't surfed for forever. And now I'm like, dude, do I even remember how to surf? Like, probably. I don't know.
I have to relearn. I'll teach you. I'll push you into waves.
Sick, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is hard. That was kind of the thing that Hawaii provided that nowhere else in the world for us really doesn't provide. It's just that like, hey, dude, do you want to go surf right now? Not only are we going to go get to do something fun, but we're going to hang out. You know, here it's a little more like we got to figure something out to do to hang out. Luckily, we have a few things right now, but it was easy. Throw the boards in the back of the truck, go surf for a couple of hours, be active, be out in the ocean. And it's hard to beat, genuinely. And once you kind of get used to that and you don't do it anymore, it's hard.
Yeah. So it's like your baseline.
Yeah.
The next question was like, if Hawaii is in our near future. Yes.
It is Hawaii, is moving back to Hawaii. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think inevitably, yes.
Yeah. Next question is, what's one thing you learned from your dad that you apply to fatherhood?
One thing that we apply to fatherhood that we learned from our dad.
Repeating the question because you don't have an answer yet.
Dude, no. No, I got it. No, good. I got it. And there good. Are a lot of things. Kind of takes me a minute to think about things. But the thing that I want to do most like my dad is be present for the most important things that you go through in life. And that's not to say like these huge moments where, you know, like graduating or whatever, but when you're a kid, the most important thing to you is your baseball game. And our dad never missed, ever. He was our coach. And if he was coaching the other team, like there were times where he was coaching Tanner's team, he'd go coach Tanner's team and then he'd come watch my game. Like he would come to our practices. Mm-hmm. And Tanner's talked about this before. I remember, I don't know when that was, but you were like kind of embarrassed a little bit in the moment when you were in high school and dad was there just like always watching your practices. Mm-hmm. And you're like, Dad, like, let me be with my friends, whatever. Now looking back on it, I remember you saying like, that's the coolest thing ever that he cared that much. Mm-hmm. He could have been doing so many other things, but he's like, I want to go watch them play football, play basketball, play baseball, and cared so much about it. And he's always been really good about caring about the little things. So
yeah, just like supporting and whatever.
And I think, yeah, I genuinely think as a parent, that's one of the bigger things you can do is just making the little things in their lives feel really awesome. And honestly, the best way you can do that is just to be present.
Yeah.
It's like literally just show up, you know, if you're not showing up, then it's like, oh, he really doesn't care.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, that's an interesting thing I've always thought about too, is like when your kids pick things that aren't your interests, that like really shows like your level of like, I'm gonna support you in whatever you do. Cause it's easy if you're like, I'm like living vicariously through my kids. Like I want them to be big sports guys or whatever. Right. 100%. And they're like doing something that you're so stoked. Which I've already dabbled with a little bit. Ozzy hasn't really tried anything other than like skate lessons, gymnastics, dancing. But even like dance is so foreign to me. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to do this dance class, which I was like, yeah, that's awesome. But like going there, I feel so out of place. I don't know any of like
how to even just be,
right? Just like how to exist, because they're all like talking and I have no idea what they're talking about, and they've all been there for years and I felt so out of place. Whereas like showing up with her at a skate lesson, I was like, oh, what's so up? And I'm like, I feel like I'm homies with everybody. Not saying that the dance vibe is bad. I just am not familiar with it or have ever been a part of it in my life. No. And so that's been an interesting thing, but it, like that really is ingrained in me from him. Like you show up, you're there, like it's practices, it's games. It's the ones that don't really matter. It's the ones that get rained out. Like, and you have no idea what that does for your kid just seeing you there. If they act embarrassed, they're stoked.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but are. Yeah, that was mine actually. Okay. But my other one is, something that I also used to be embarrassed about as a kid. And that is talking to the gas station lady.
So cool.
Or guy. But so like, cool. Just like whoever is there. 'Cause like that interaction can be so bland. Like it can be wordless, right? You can walk up, put your drink on the counter. You're both kind of like tired, whatever. Scan, walk away. Like there doesn't even have to be any words, but he would always make an effort to learn their name and to ask them how their day was and like find out, like he gets like wedding invites and like graduation announcements from like the Costco, like cashiers and stuff. And I always thought that was so funny. I'm like, dude, he just talks to everybody silly to us. And now I find myself doing it all the time because I'm like, I get stoked knowing how like Cheryl from Foodland's day was, or like what her grandkids are up to. And I think like when you're working that job all day, it's probably refreshing to get somebody who like
100%
knows your name. Yeah,
dude, I guarantee it's like, dad. Yeah, I think you genuinely can make some people's week, you know, by having those combos. And I was the same way. Like even to this day, I'll be with dad and he'll go and like up to someone random and have a combo. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, dad, what are you doing? But then I kind of have to like stop and think, you know, that is probably one of the, I don't know, one of the coolest things you can do, meeting people. And we'll show up to Costco. Yeah. Like all the time. And the lady checking us out will be like, is your dad Joe Beeston? Yeah. And I'm like, what? No way. She's like, oh, he's the best. I love waiting for him every Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's awesome. That is a really cool thing. Who can armpit fart louder? Dude,
I can't. You know, there was armpit farters in class, and then there was people that didn't armpit fart, and I was on the latter side.
Dude.
I'm sorry if this was you that wrote the question. I never thought it was that funny, and like a random kid in elementary ran up to me and like was like doing that in my face. I was always like, not down
for the armpit farts. Yeah. I don't think I've successfully ever done one.
Yeah, maybe that's my thing. If I knew how, maybe I would appreciate it more. And probably. I'm just being judgmental.
You are, dude. It's probably really fun.
Okay. Anyways, moving on.
Ooh, okay. Here we go. What do you think your calling in life is?
Oh, dude. Are there callings in life? That's my first question.
Dude,
This is what I always see. And I like, I'm so stoked for people that like, are 100% about it. And I think that's sick. And you devote your whole life to this thing that you feel like your calling is.
I don't know.
I'm like, were we pre-designed to come down here with one specific calling? I think that's like a very viable, like that could be the answer. I also am like, are we just down here?
Dude, no, I am 100% on the same boat.
Where I'm like, because my calling in life, maybe it just feels like such a big thing to designate that it's like hard for me to just pick a thing. If I was going to pick one thing, being a dad, like that feels so easy. It's the most natural and I love it more than anything. And so if that's how we're picking your calling, I guess, yeah, that's what I feel like my calling is.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, for sure. Yeah, same idea. Like
race car driver.
I really want to be an F1 racer. If not an F1 racer, then I really want to be, right now, probably a professional.
Derek is still road biker.
I'm getting into road biking. So I do think that I could really get to the next level.
Derek is still a kid trying to find out what he's going to be when he grows up. And dude, it's still a race car driver.
Can I honestly just say, like, dude, I have no idea what I'm going to be. And I don't, you know, like I never thought that we were going to be, YouTubers. Or,
why'd you put it in quotes?
Because I don't even feel like I'm a YouTuber.
What?
I don't know. Like, I feel like there's YouTubers and then there's like people that kind of just make videos on YouTube.
And you're the guy that makes videos on YouTube?
Like, I want to be a YouTuber, but.
So what are you? What, somebody asked, hey man.
Yeah, no.
It's my first day on Earth. What do you do for a living?
No, lately I have been saying, I'm a YouTuber.
You don't say I'm a YouTuber.
No, I don't know why I did that. Quotes? Okay. I was trying to make it seem like I knew why I was doing that. I didn't know. Okay. Thank you. Oh yeah. Okay. Anyway, no, I didn't see this happening. And what I really like And what gets me stoked about life is the idea that there, in my head, and this is my opinion, I don't think that there is one life calling for someone. If I were to answer, kind of like Tanner did, I will say the most important thing to me would be to be a good dad, to be a good example for my kids, to be a good husband, and to have a happy family. A family that's doing stuff together, that's, you know, excited to be around each other, that's making good decisions in life, that are being, you know, socially and morally, you know, good people. But I will say, in terms of my life calling, I feel like that could change next week, like what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. And it is exciting because I, you know, there are so many different opportunities that come up in life that you're like, oh, this is actually kind of feeling like what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You probably didn't always think that you were going to write a children's book. And now here you are.
No, dude. See, that's a really good example, actually, because I'm doing it. And it like lights my fire.
Exactly.
And I think that there's lots of things that do that. But this right now is like all consuming, where I'm like, yeah, this feels like I just so natural. So like good. Let's feel exactly what I want to do. Yeah.
And I will. Yeah. 100%. I will say that there, like you said, there are some people who come to Earth and are literally so gifted in one area of life that it's like, if you pursue that, you really will make a difference.
Right.
And if you do it, if you use it for good, it will make a difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. You're like, dude, you should 100% be a rocket scientist because you're going to make like space exploration better.
Yeah.
I do feel like some people may have their life callings figured out a little bit better, or maybe they just have their focus in life figured out better, but they could have something that they also could be good at that they're not doing. So
maybe we just haven't found out what we're good at yet.
Yeah. And genuinely right now I am super happy with what we're doing in life. I love making videos. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, being able to spend time with our family. And I think, the most important thing is being present and being there for kids and wife, you know, and people around us.
Derek mentioned that I'm writing a kid's book. Little mini blurb about that. I haven't talked about it at all, actually. I don't think.
Awesome.
I think I maybe have mentioned it like on Instagram. I have, but not on YouTube or the podcast, obviously. But I wanted to like give like the brief idea of what it's about. I had this idea, like 3 months ago, and I've always thought about the idea of writing a kid's book, and it's always just been something like, that's so cool. But like, that's not me. Like, I'm not an author. I'm not an illustrator. I'm not like somebody, I'm not a Dr. Seuss good ideas guy, but I just like kept getting that like idea. And then I heard a line in a song recently, a few months ago, and it kind of sparked this thing that I like took off with. And the whole thing is basically just about being able to understand people's different way of thinking in a nutshell. And to understand that there's that different is good, and that there's not just a, one way to do things. So, so anyways, that like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, things come on, you feel it, you go for it, and like it feels really good.
And right now you could be thinking like, dude, maybe my life calling is to freaking write children's books, or to write books in general, because I have good ideas and I can relate to people, whatever.
And then it's going to take like one editor being like, this is garbage. Maybe I'll skip the editing part. I think I'm going to skip the editing part and just like let people rip it apart if they want after.
Yeah.
That way I already get done.
That's another funny thing, that like people can make you feel like you can't do what you think your life calling is.
Yeah.
Literally. Like you could fully identify yourself as someone who is going to do this, but one person could critique you so hard that you're like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah, man.
You know?
But then you just got to push through.
Then you just got to kind of push through. Yeah. All right. Fun one. How's the new hobby restoring the Porsche?
Oh, so good. The whole process, we kind of started YouTubing some of it for the Beeston Brothers channel.
Come. Don't worry.
So maybe we'll post that. But because it kind of documents it a little bit better than just posting Instagram stories. Yeah. But it's going so good. We bought a 1968 Porsche 912. Has a ton of original parts. We found it just a few hours south of us in southern Utah. And it's from the most epic family who recently lost their father, who was the one restoring the Porsche. And so we got to meet with the mom and have chatted with some of the children over Instagram and things like that. And they're just the coolest family. And they're so stoked that we're kind of finishing what he had started and documenting the whole thing and things like that. But it's been so fun. We've already met so many rad people.
Yeah, that is the coolest thing. It's like meeting all of these people that are in that world, you know, and neither Tanner or I have ever been like super car guys. I think we've always really liked cars.
But yeah, that's never the thing. Love cars. Don't know how to do the most basic thing until now.
No, straight up. And that was kind of an initial push to do this. We were just like, dude, there's not really another way to learn how to do something other than like fully immersing yourself in it and doing it. And so that's what we've done. Luckily, maybe not so lucky. I don't know. Everything has kind of been working really well. So we're kind of getting the red carpet restoration process. We have a really good mentor who's helping us. More than anything, it's really fun because like I said, with the whole surfing thing, it was like, you know, we're going to go hang out and we're going to do something we like doing. I'm kind of injured right now. Can't really do some of the stuff that we were going to be doing while we were here in Utah.
Any of the stuff, man.
Any of the stuff. Literally anything that we do, run, skate, snowboard, bike, can't really do any of it. So we can restore a car though.
Yes.
And it's freaking fun learning something new. I don't think we've ever like fully learned something new together. I don't know.
No, not really.
Never. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like maybe since we were kids, like learning how to play baseball or basketball, but it kind of feels like that. It like feels like the ultimate like brother bonding experience of like learning something new together, something we always wanted to do. And, it was perfect timing. Perfect being a relative word.
Yeah.
Derek messing up his knee. And it was just like, man, what are we going to do? You kind of both of us seeing like all of like the memories that we normally make doing all these hobbies kind of just like slide out the window. And then we're like, nah, dude, let's do that thing we've always wanted to do. There's literally no better time for it. And then the process of buying the car went so smooth. And like just once a week, being able to go down, spend a few hours, get to know each other better and just like learn together on a new project. So
it's super cool. Yeah. It's super cool. Aside from the Porsche, like being such a cool car that we've wanted.
Yeah.
It's like looking at the bigger picture. This is cooler. Yeah.
It's been money.
Also, I like started thinking about it. I feel like for me and Tanner, like we kind of have to be doing something to have our best moments of like interacting. I don't think there's a lot of people who I feel like can just kind of, you know,
like sit.
Do you want to go like grab lunch and talk?
Yeah.
I feel like we can kind of do that, but it's like,
yeah, that's true, dude. Like if we're just both sitting on the couch,
like we won't kind of just chill. Like it's really surprising that we're talking kind of cause we have to for this, but
yeah, we pretend like we talk to each other.
No. But yeah, the whole idea is to just spend more time. So that's been fun.
If you could choose one song to play when you walk into a room, what would it be and why?
Dude,
did you know what my baseball song used to be? You remember?
Don't tell me. Dude, was it freaking I'm a beast? Was it?
I said, I'm a bee. Black Eyed Peas. I'm a bee.
No, dude, wasn't it Tech N9ne?
Good song, but not mine. The song, like my baseball walk-up song in high school, this made me think of it, was Tech N9ne, The Beast. And in the song, it sounds like he says, T-Beast, something, and that was my name, T-Beast.
And then the chorus is like, because I'm a beast.
Yeah, and I was just like, here's the thing. When I chose that song in high school, it was my senior year, and I would have like never done that before. I would have just like chose like whatever, some like random
whatever you
song.
Thought people probably would like.
Yeah, but I was like the most shy, introverted kid up until my senior year, and that was when I finally started to break out of my shell a little bit. And so it was like everything against me to like pick it like an kind of out there song, whatever. And but I was like turning this, just like I was trying to force myself to do everything that was uncomfortable and just become a little more confident because I had 0% of it. And so anyways, yeah, I picked that song.
That's right.
So I would still pick that song today.
Yeah.
The Beast.
Life changing. My song is a very different genre. This is a song that kind of just gets me, makes me happy, and it gets me like stoked to do whatever I'm doing. It's funny. But it's, I think it was made in the 70s or
break my stride. 80s.
Break my stride.
Break my stride.
You
break
knew.
Break my stride.
Break my stride. How did you know?
Dude, because that's the best song ever.
Ain't nobody gonna break my stride.
Dude, yeah. And it's like a life song.
It's a life song. And It's never not put me in one of the best moods possible.
It's awesome.
I could listen to it 1,000 times in a row and still be like, dude, this guy is just preaching in this song. He's like, on it. Nobody can bring me down.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. And I actually, it was a really good running song for me too. Like when I would run, I would straight up just start smiling and like laughing while I was running. Like, this is amazing. Awesome. I think I played it 6 times or something on our marathon.
Dude, that's one of the greatest songs.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, I think that one would probably be my theme song in life.
Yeah, I'm gonna note that down to find my new theme song. Should probably change from high school.
No, dude.
Keep Tech Nine. Every time I walk into every room ever, people hear the F word 100 times. Tech Nine.
And the funny part is you probably had to have it edited when it was...
Yeah, it was the edited version. Yeah. Gosh.
No, that's funny.
Never mind. All right, you can pick one.
Okay. If you guys were competing against each other, if you guys were
me,
if you guys were competing against each other in a season of Survivor, who would win and why? Why do you think you would beat me?
Because, dude, I just...
You think I'd, like, blow myself up or something? You think I'd start freaking out?
Dude, have you gotten into Survivor?
Yeah.
Really?
There was a season or two. Sarah's super into it. She's like, okay, wants to be on the show. And
yeah.
She was like, got me into it and was like, you need to watch this in case we ever do this.
I don't know how I would be, man. I know I would beat you, hands down.
Tell me why.
But, like, I don't know if it would be, like, you get last, I get second to last.
Dude, okay, here's the thing I know that would get me through. I have the will to survive.
You do have the will to survive, and that can take you about one episode in. Okay, here's the thing about Survivor. This is why it would be hard. You have to be... very manipulative and sly, and you have to lie a lot. Not everybody does. Some people have different strategies, but
well, you have to be likable, but not too likable.
You have to be likable, not too likable. You have to be good, but not too good. Mm-hmm. You have to be like so sneaky about your whole thing. And like every time we play like one of those games with all our friends, and it's like you have to lie about what card you have or something, I blow it. Mm. I'm the worst at it.
And you have to fully sell it. I mean, for even like a week of just fully acting like you're going in on with someone and then totally,
you know. If I was with a bunch of strangers, I'd be a little bit better. But when I'm like looking at like all of our friends and then I'm like, I can't.
I probably would get too competitive and would either freak out.
Yeah.
And
I think you would not like me,
or maybe I would be good at a lot of the challenges and then get voted off. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's usually the people that are really, really, really strategic that take the cake. And
you think you have that?
I think I have what it takes. I definitely, you'd probably win.
Yeah.
Gosh, you'd probably win. But now that you say that, I'm going to start watching Survivor every single week.
Dude, and you can't even run. So like, what are you supposed to do? What if they have a running challenge? But
I don't know.
You can be the brains. You can be the brains of the operation.
Be the brains now. Yeah. If you guys had to swap wives with each other, what would be the hardest part? Well, me and Lauren probably wouldn't get a lot of the cleaning done in the house.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, there's a good chance you guys would...
Me and Lauren would be very productive with work. We would get a lot of work done, but we might forget that the house is like turning into a complete dump.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good way to put it.
Maybe.
At its simplest.
Yeah. I don't know. It would probably be hard because I feel like Lauren is very competitive and we would probably butt heads on a lot of things.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Like you guys are like too similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think that the hardest thing with Sarah is there's just like so many, you know?
So many.
Literally like everything makes me just pissed off.
Dude, you guys just are kidding. Just like freaking oil
there's
and water.
There's like a fake beef thing that we have. The hardest part about
it's real.
would actually, it actually probably would be that, like, the interactions that we normally have right now would be the same.
You trying to explain something to Sarah, like, hey, take a step back and look at it this way.
Yes.
And Sarah being like, don't freaking tell me what to do. Yes,
dude, that would explode.
Yeah, that would be hard.
Because that, and it does explode.
Because you have a lot of great ideas.
As I do that to Lauren, too. I don't think that I'm like this super smart guy. I'm not like, listen to me philosophize you. I'm just like, it's a little bit
you're
easier
really
to see
good
when
at
you're
talk,
removed.
You're, well, and you are very good at talking, at helping people kind of step back and look at things differently, take a different angle.
Yeah.
And you like to explain that.
I like that. And a lot of people don't like that, especially like because it sounds like I don't care about what they're saying and how bad the thing is, because I'm more of like, yeah, looking at another angle, which means I'm not looking at their angle, which means I don't agree with them, you know? So maybe that's how we would fight, but that would probably be the hardest part.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. People always ask that question. Like, could you guys be married? I don't know. Probably. Like, we could make it work.
Dude, but nobody asked that. You just brought that up. Why'd you say that?
Shut up, dude. I'm not supposed to let them know.
Should we do one more question?
Yeah, one more good one. Okay, real quick, one more than the last one. If you were going to get a tattoo, what would it be?
What would it be?
Yeah.
Oh, we got eagle, dude. Easy.
We're for sure getting matching eagles.
Yeah, because eagle bros.
Eagle bros. We are the eagle bros. The eagle inspires us.
Dude, how did the eagle start? Like, since the beginning of time, obviously.
Dude, wasn't it just because we went to Lake Powell and bought an eagle shirt or something?
Yeah.
Or we just, like, decided that we were going to, like...
Yeah, because of the eagle shirts. And then it like was a joke that went too far. And now if I see an eagle, nothing will get me fired up more.
Maybe a horse.
Okay.
We're eagle horse guys now. Eagles and horses. The symbolism behind them gets us freaking fired
but
up.
But the eagle is definitely like, if I send an eagle emoji and say like, caw.
Caw.
That's
caw-caw.
Whatever I said in that message, you're gonna do
100%,
and vice versa.
100%. You can tell me to do absolutely anything, and I will do
put
it.
Put an eagle emoji, you'll soar.
Yep, yeah, probably eagles. And then, all right, what do you think? Last one,
all right, let's do one last question.
How did you feel watching your wife give birth?
Oh man, that was the most mind-blowing, earth-leaving, puddle-melting feeling that I've ever had in my entire life. I had no idea what to expect other than I thought, like, I was a little nervous because, one, you hear so many, like, scary stories, and it's just, like, it is a dangerous thing, and it's scary because you're in a hospital and there's all these beeps and you're about to witness the coolest thing ever. But I didn't know if I would be, like, fainty or like grossed out or what, but it was like nothing else mattered. What Lauren was doing was the coolest thing in the world. And then both times when Ozzy and Stella were born, I felt like I had left the earth and I came back and I was new and full of more love and like fully just, it was crazy.
It was absolutely crazy.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. How did you feel, man?
No, 100%. The most surreal moment in my entire life. There will never be another thing as surreal as that.
Right.
And I kind of thought like after she had Jack, I was like, oh, maybe it will be the same with Sunny, or maybe it won't be the same with Sunny. 100% was.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it is. It is a... You leave your body 100%. You are in another world, and I really couldn't process what was happening. I was just like, this is so cool, because leading up to it, we were just like, Derek, you got to be ready for this. Like, you're really queasy and you get really nervous. And I get scared of blood. Like, I am super queasy with this type of stuff. So I was really nervous for Jack. It was crazy, the sense of calmness that came over me just watching her.
Yeah.
And she's in pain. And I was like, I don't know. Normally that's something that would kind of scare me. But I felt very calm. And it was the coolest thing watching her do that. I just remember thinking like, that is insane that you can literally carry a baby inside of you and then push it out. And then all of a sudden it's like it wants you, it needs you.
Yeah.
It is mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing.
No, it literally altered the wiring in my brain.
Absolutely.
And
like, don't do shrooms, have a kid. That's what I'm putting on my bumper.
Don't do shrooms, have a kid. If you want to freaking alter the wiring in your brain, positive.
Talk about psychedelic treatment, dude.
Dude, straight up. No, like I have never been the same.
But also, yeah, like nothing shifts your perspective on life more than bringing a kid into the world that's yours and is part of you and is your responsibility. And like a lot of things that used to matter a lot don't matter as much anymore. And things that never mattered before matter so much now. And it's like,
and it's kind of crazy how quick that hits. It's like leading up to birth, I'm like, dude, I am not prepared to be a dad. I am not going to be a good dad. I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea how I'm going to raise this kid, this little tiny mush baby that depends on us.
Yeah.
But it is so weird how when it comes and you go through that process and you watch your wife have the baby, something's like triggered and all of a sudden you just step it up, I guess. You're like, all right, I'm going to make this happen. We have to. But dude, that first moment holding them is the most wild thing.
It is.
And you're just kind of like shaking and you're like, dude, what are you? Like how you're here.
You're not supposed to do that. Don't shake
the baby. But like, I just remember being like, this is not real life. I'm holding my son, then I'm holding my daughter. Yeah. Trippy.
Yeah, very absolutely. Cool though. Yeah.
Coolest thing we'll ever experience.
Yeah.
That's a good one to end on.
Yeah, let's call it on the last one.
I feel like that's a good one to end on.
That was a great one to end on.
Yeah. And honestly, like
being a dad is the coolest.
Back. Yeah. Brought me back to that moment. That's so sick.
You guys having another one?
Yes. Dude, honestly, for the first time in forever, I am more ready than Sarah is.
Is that an Elsa quote?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah. And I'm not even, we haven't even watched Frozen.
You haven't even got there with Sunny yet?
No, but I just know it.
You haven't memorized the movie?
I feel ready for 3, but I honestly don't think anymore.
Yeah, 3 is a magic number.
Never thought I'd say that, but.
You were always higher or what?
I was always 4. Always 4. Yeah. And Sarah was always 5. And we're both like, it could still be 4, but I feel pretty stoked about it. She's a little more like, need to be more ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
You?
I'm ready whenever, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm always down. I just like, I want to make sure that Lauren is ready and
dude,
that it's
them.
Not coming.
They're the ones, yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, like deservedly so, you know, like I'm not carrying the baby. I'm not dealing with the pain. I'm not dealing with nursing for the next year after that. I'm not doing any of that. So I can be ready.
Yeah.
What, I have to like lose a little sleep.
Yeah.
What, I get to like play with another kid? Really hard, man.
Really hard.
But I am like, yeah, when she's ready to like fully just like sacrifice herself to having another kid, because it really is the biggest.
It is.
Then I'm down. And if she's not ready, I'm down for that too.
Yeah.
So.
We just need one more little Grom.
Yeah. No, I just said I don't. Either way.
You what? Sorry. What?
You just need one more little one.
You just need... No, I said we just need one more. Oh. No, honestly, too, with like Sarah, she's got endometriosis. So
it's hard.
Plays a big factor in things. We're like, okay, you know what? Might not even be able to. A lot of people can't. We've been so freaking blessed and lucky to have the first two. So we'll see. But I could be ready.
Nice, dude.
Dude, our first podcast, man.
That was sick.
Wow, I just feel I feel way more bonded to you too, man.
Really?
Yeah,
I feel bonded to you too. What did we tell? We tell them now. Thanks for watching.
I don't know.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for watching.
What is their sign off? Do they have a sign off? We should have. No, we should have asked.
Dude, if they don't, let's freaking make one.
I'm just gonna say.
I'm a beast. No.
I got to think of my new song, man. That was epic, dude. I was stoked we did that.
That was awesome.
It might be the last time that we ever do this.
I'm assuming this will be the worst performing video.
Yeah, first and last, and I'm all right with
that. They're going to look at the analytics and be like, you guys, never again.
See, I'm beyond analytics. I'm for fun.
Yeah. 100%. Right, well, this is really cool. Yeah. Thanks for asking the questions.
Yes, thank you.
That was fun, and maybe we'll get another shot
at it. We see you next time.
Yeah. All right. Okay. See ya.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.